Madam President, at a time when over 250 people have been killed in the West Bank, I'm not talking about Gaza, talking about the West Bank since October 7th, and more than 1,000 Palestinians have been driven off of their land in the West Bank. No, in the midst of all of that, I do not believe we should be appropriating over $10 billion for the right-wing extremist Netanyahu government to continue its current military approach.
I don't know that any of us asked for Bernie Sanders to weigh in on this, but there he is, Bernie Sanders, talking about being driven off their land. I'm going to tell you guys, if you ever questioned whether or not God exists, the fact that I made it through that soundbite without my head exploding multiple times is proof. Welcome to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this first hour as we get going, get you set up. I can't believe it's already Tuesday in this week. We're just barreling through December, are we not? Good grief. Is there no slowed speed here? So a number of things to hit on today. And, you know, we got the hearing going on right now with colleges talking about anti-Semitism. I was just watching a Stefanik question. I think it was the president of Harvard on this raging anti-Semitism, which I think at this point, chosen ignorance over this topic to me seems like a display of anti-Semitism. In a world where you can literally have anything delivered to your home, in a world where you can hop online and you can look up anything, name it. You can look anything up. Any information is at your fingertips, whatever it is that you want. And you have people who still believe the stuff that Bernie Sanders stated. I mean, I think it takes more effort to remain ignorant than it does to educate oneself with all of the tools at our disposal today. And so I can't help but think that it's kind of a willful display of bigotry, of anti-Semitism, to keep doing this time and time again. Well, they're driven off anything. Again, it was a giant welfare move where you had Israel leave a strip of land and give it freely. I think that the Gazans are squatters. I think that they are the colonists. I think that Hamas is a colonist government. I think that the fake country that isn't supported by thousands of years of antiquity, Palestine, I think the people who promote that is colonization. I mean, feel free to point to me in the Quran where it's mentioned. I'll wait. But in all of this, it's a willful demonstration of anti-Semitism to push with this ignorance. I mean, good grief. John Fetterman is even doing better than Bernie Sanders on this. I can't believe I'm saying these things. Oh my gosh, you guys, I have another shock, a Fetterman shock coming up. Not right now. Kane and I were talking about this just moments before we actually went to break because it's pretty stunning. We don't know what to make of it. We're stunned with this stuff. And so I was listening to the questioning from Stefanik on this, and or to the Harvard president, and all of these cases. I saw another video that came out, University of Pennsylvania. This was just Friday that happened, but the video really was making the rounds over the weekend. And it was people who were Jewish students had to kind of fight, hang out in a shady spot, so to speak, because the pro Hamas fans were getting rioty. I mean, it's very, very 1930s-esque. None of us were alive then. Well, maybe a couple of you were, but none of us were alive then. But we read history. We're familiar with the history. And this Harvard president was answering questions, and it was fascinating because Stefanik had pointed out that there were a number of students who, if they shared a meme Remember the one of the teenagers, the one of the Parkland teenagers who could not be appropriated for to push gun control by the AstroTurfed group that was created by Michael Bloomberg called Moms Demand. It was a totally AstroTurf group, still is. That he had shared a meme or something and had been denied entry. There were other people who were denied entry. You can chant genocide and death to Jews at Harvard and you're okay. If you share an inappropriate meme or if you're suspected of being a conservative, your admission will be rescinded. I thought that was a very good point because there's a lot of receipts that showcase that. And there is this prevalent double standard. There's this major double standard that is not just at Harvard. It's at a number of these universities. And I was watching this president of Harvard University sit there and answer these questions. And she was asked over and over again, so you condemn this, but not this, or what do you think of people who chant from the river to the sea, etc.? And the Harvard president kept saying, well, we believe in supporting all speech, even speech that we find abhorrent, except, you know, if you're conservative and you share a meme. Or, you, I mean, there are people who have been 17 years old and had their admission rescinded. Or if you're a teenager, if you're someone who's being accepted into Harvard and they find your post because your parents let you be on social media at 13 or 14 years old and you said stupid things, well, that's used to rescind your admission too. Because see, that kind of offense is unforgivable. And the amount of grace is dependent upon your political affiliation. So whatever your political affiliation, that's proportionate to the amount of grace that you receive from these universities and their admissions office. And I just thought that was a very interesting contrast. There's a major problem. It's prevalent up on the left, and there's a strain of it I hate the phrase far right, but there's a strain out there, and it's incredibly prevalent up on the left. I mean, that's where it's home. Just shocking. Absolutely shocking. Now, in the meantime, you have people like this. NSA, Jake Sullivan. This is, I'm done with the, Me Too is a scam, and Believe All Women was a scam. And feminism is, third wave feminism is nothing but a religion of bitchery. It's exactly what it is. All it does is seek to destroy everything and subjugate women to a far leftist ideology. So you have Sullivan, who can barely fill his suit. He's standing up there in front of the press, and he was asked specifically, because now there's this story going around about why Hamas isn't releasing any more female hostages. And what the State Department had said and what's been widely reported is that they're not releasing hostages because they don't want these women to talk about all of the horrors that they've had to endure while they have been in Hamas's custody, while they've been kidnapped and held hostage by Hamas. And this piece from The Hill, which is making the rounds, the White House doesn't know. They don't know what to do with it, frankly. They really don't. They have no clue. And this was Jake Sullivan trying to kind of get around it. It's just awkward audio, and this is an insufficient answer. Audio soundbite 6.
Yeah.
Why is Hamas refusing to release the civilian women in your opinion?
I'm not going to speculate on that, only to say that they haven't done it, and only to say we're gravely concerned about that, but I'm not going to speculate as to their reasoning.
Are you serious? You're not going to speculate as to their reasoning? What a weak, flaccid, empty suit he is. When I look at him, my ovaries cry. They just scream and curl up and go all the way up into my throat. It's, I know. Such is the repel. It's repulsive. What do you mean you can't speculate? They're terrorists and they hate women and they hate children. They're a bunch of pedophiles. You know Hamas was raping children too, right? They're a bunch of pedophiles. They're rapists. They also raped men. Not a lot of people have talked about that. There were some pretty horrific accounts of dudes being raped at that Nova festival. I mean, I guess, you know, when you're blowing up women and children by accident because you're too stupid to properly wire a rocket, firing it off of the rooftop of a school, you know, and you kill all the women and children, I guess your pickings are pretty slim when you're Hamas and you're in Gaza. And they still enjoy popularity. blows the mind, no pun intended. But yeah, you can't speculate. Jake Sullivan can't. This is our administration. This is why this stuff continues, because nobody's afraid. You want people to be afraid of the United States. People who don't understand that as a foreign policy, they should never be allowed in elected office. These people are too stupid to comment on the issue. You want all people, particularly people who are brutal, barbarians, you want them to live in fear that you may pop off at any time. I kind of liked having, and I like the idea of having a president who might have a little bit of a short fuse in regards to this, because I want people to think, golly, their president may be, he's a damn crazed maniac. He might be nuts enough to do this. He might press the button. He's got that nuclear football with him. Who knows what he's going to do? Keep him happy. I kind of like foreign leaders looking at our, I don't care what they think of us, just as long as they're afraid and leave us alone. Peace through strength. Well, we just can't speculate onto that. You can't speculate onto that, Jake Sullivan. You can't speculate on that. No, they have no answer to give for the press. This story, by the way, by the time he was asked that question, that story, how long had that been in the press, Kane? 12 hours, at least? Yeah. They didn't have an answer for that. The hell is the White House doing? You have a whole fleet of people whose one job is to craft messaging on this. You don't have an answer? We just can't speculate. You don't need to speculate. They're refusing to release women because they're pathetic pedophile rapists. That's the answer. Very simple. They refuse to release women because they target women and children. They refuse to release women because they hate women. They hate women almost as much as third wave feminists hate women. That's why they won't release women. What do they have? The UN? We're all of these other groups. I was actually shocked that Hillary, and I'm not giving her credit. That's where I'll stop. Hillary Clinton had even remarked on it, even remarked on some of the stuff where you've had, it's either Jayapal or others, and even Clinton went out there and was saying rape is rape. I can't even believe you got to say that. Wasn't that the leftist whole call to vote? That was their whole get out the vote apparatus. Now, we got a lot of other stuff coming up. So we're going to focus on some of the stuff we're going to hit today, these women groups, because if you want to know what feminism accomplished, if you want to know what third wave feminism accomplished, all you have to do is look at all these women's groups here in the United States that are completely silent about what happened with rape being used as a weapon of war. Rape being used as a weapon of war. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to get into some of the 2024 stuff. We have another stupid debate that's happening Thursday. Law and order. We got a whole bunch of stuff as we move our partners over. Speaking of like smart places, Hillsdale College, they're not going to be the people that just give kids A's. They're not just going to hand them A's. Hillsdale wants to wish everybody a happy and blessed Christmas and a healthy and prosperous new year. And they also want to thank you all for your kindness towards their institution. As you know, Hillsdale College is a small Christian classical liberal arts college in southern Michigan, and they're all about the pursuit of true academics, and they protect robust and honest debate. Thankfully, they're still an academic institution that does this. And they want to thank you for your support for all of this year. And as a way to do that, they have this awesome video, and it features their sacred music choir. I know a lot of you like to play Christmas music. Immediately, you like to play Christmas music. You're cooking. You're in the kitchen cooking. Maybe you're wrapping gifts, whatever it is that you're doing. You can put this on and just let it go. It's their sacred music choir singing O Little Town of Bethlehem, and it's in their beautiful Christ Chapel that's right there in the heart of campus. Now, you can find this only at dana4hillsdale.com. And so your support of Hillsdale College allows them to continue their mission to educate everybody, irrespective of nationality or any other identity politic. It's all about merit, character, and true learning. So when you visit dana4hillsdale.com, you can see and hear that choir, and you can view many of the other free resources to help you celebrate the season. And the visit's going to leave you full of warmth and inspiration. That's dana4hillsdale.com.
We are getting our pockets picked. As we send billions of your tax dollars to countries like South Africa to stop burning coal, are they cooperating? No way. What's the climate agenda's next goal? Going after methane. Be prepared to get our pockets picked once again. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This is how crazy AI is getting. So now they're saying it's Rise of the Sommeliers, but AI liaise. Sommelier, you get it? Robots could help you pick your wine. As a study reveals, AI can identify the origin and vintage of wine with a 100% accuracy. But can you do moonshine, robot? Can you find me that crisp fall apple? Can you find me that, robot? Can you find me a wonderful Ozark blend? I doubt y'all can. Just saying. I mean, I just think that the tech only goes so far. More Americans are tipping into retirement savings as hardship withdrawals rise. Sidebar, I cannot say withdrawal without sounding like my grandmother. No idea how that happens. They said that there's tons of money, or tons of people are yanking out money out of their 401ks, paying for bills, buying necessities. Consumers are experiencing the strain, but hey, there's nothing wrong. Don't look at Bidenomics, which isn't named Bidenomics anymore because they're so embarrassed of Bidenomics, so they're going to call it something different from Bidenomics. We're going to talk about, you know, they're changing the name, which is going to make the policy better. Did you know that? You just change out the name of it. You don't actually change the policy. You just switch the name out. Let's see. Spotify is laying off 17% of its staff. This is its third round of job cuts this year. Maybe because they paid that stupid, boring, whiny redhead, Spare. What's his face? Harry. And his D-list grifter, no talent, barely can act, wasn't famous until she married a prince, which is the exact opposite of the feminism that she shills. The suitcase girl, Rachel Markle, or whatever her name is. They gave them $20 million, and they literally did 8 episodes. And she doesn't even understand the word irony or archetype. Not even kidding you. That's what her whole that's what her whole show was called, and she demonstrated every episode that she had no idea what that word means. Someone got a thesaurus for Christmas when you're from daddy who paid for all your other bills, but you apparently didn't use it to, you know, improve your IQ. Sad. Can you tell I don't like them? Moving on. Bottlenose dolphins possess an electric sixth sense. That's why they're jerks. And and apparently there's a new study out there that suggests that if you have a cat, it increases your risk of schizophrenia. And it could be due to the fact that it's a cat. No, or toxic parasites that pets get. I don't dislike cats. I'm severely allergic to them, but I don't dislike them. But that one movie, The Cat's Eye with Drew Barrymore, did freak me out about cats. So that's why I blame that one. Stay with us. We got a lot more in store. The headrest, if you don't have this as a Christmas gift, if you have not gotten this as a Christmas present for someone, you're failing miserably. And I feel really sorry for your gift recipient. Let me help you. The headrest safe. You can also treat yourself too. The headrest safe is practical, and it's a modern day solution for modern day criminal problems. Here's the thing. A lot of people, whether you're going to, you know, maybe you're going to a football game, maybe you're going to a baseball game, maybe you're going on a road trip to family, go see family over the holidays, whatever it is. You probably have valuables or stuff with you. If you're like me, you like to carry too. And while the headrest safe is designed as a gun safe, it's just invisible secure storage for everything that you might want to protect, whether it's your gun, whether it's jewelry, medication, cash, any kind of other valuable. You can get to your stuff in just 2.5 seconds thanks to a magnetic access door and a user-friendly biometric fingerprint reader. There's also a hard keypad, and a hard key as well. Easy to install. You can lock it securely in place with a deployable toggle bolt. It's on the passenger side, so there's no interference with any kind of driver safety. And once you install it, it's not going anywhere. And it's undetectable. It's seamless with your car's interior because they can match over like 85% of all of the stuff that's out there on the market, the materials that they use. It's a one-of-a-kind vehicle safe. It's award-winning. It's smart. It's a must-have for Christmas. And so for a limited time, the Headrest Safe bundle price has been reduced by $100. And with code Dana, you can save an additional $50. So order your Headrest Safe, install it yourself, enjoy peace of mind. See it for yourself, theheadrestsafe.com, and use code Dana for an exclusive $50 off. That's theheadrestsafe.com, code Dana for $50 off, 100% money back guarantee.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
Okay, so October the 7th was devastating to our friends in Israel. So your testimony before this committee, since October 7th, the urging a foreign terrorist organization to attack America has gone up. Is that fair to say?
Yes, the threat level has gone to a whole nother level since October 7th.
But I thought it was the weather. Is it the weather that's going to get us? Is that what he's talking about?
I thought it was white supremacy. It's not white supremacy.
Wait a minute. Could it be both of those things? Like a bunch of white wizards controlling the weather?
Wait, it'd have to be terrorism, weather, white supremacy.
So I'm watching this anime series that my oldest found called Pluto, and it incorporates something like that in there in terms of the weather being weaponized because it's like, I don't want to give too much away. It's not into climate change and it's not woke, but I'm like, interesting parallels. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lasher with you, bottom of this first hour. That is a conversation between Lindsey Graham, bomb all the things. I mean, he's questioning Ray there, Director Ray hard. By the way, I said, for whatever reason, I said that the debate was Thursday. I kept thinking that tomorrow and Thursday because I brilliantly recognize that they both begin with T's. I'm still in my coffee. I'm having my coffee crisis. So we're a little short fused right now until then. But it's tomorrow. But I thought, I don't know why. I was like, tomorrow and Thursday both begin with T's. It's Thursday. Must be Thursday then. Just skipping right over Wednesday. But this discussion between, this was just earlier this morning, between Lindsey Graham and FBI Director Wray. He's like, well, you could say, what is the largest terrorist threat? I mean, we were told the biggest danger to Americans. Now, Kane, help me. Is it white supremacist meteorologist?
Oh, that's weather. Interesting.
Like, weather's the biggest danger?
Weather?
Like, you're going to get zapped by lightning?
Maybe.
Didn't the people in the Democrats' militant arm, the Klan, didn't they call themselves wizards and stuff?
Yeah.
I don't, totally understand the hierarchy, the magical hierarchy there, but I'm pretty sure that they did. Is that what that entails? Is that what this is all about?
I guess.
Inquiring minds and all.
Yeah, I don't. Honestly, I don't.
Yeah, know. We really don't know. But long story short, we were under the impression that it was those two things that were the biggest sorts of, and then parents at school board meetings, obviously. I mean, let's not overlook them.
Oh, and free speech on the internet.
Free speech on the internet, talking about things that rhyme with, because we don't want the YouTube baristas to have their feelings hurt, because we understand that you feel super inadequate about your performance in all aspects of life, particularly academic and anything that involves intelligence or brain cells. I don't even know how you make coffee. But what rhymes with schmivermectin, Kane? So we don't get penalized and demoted and all of that other stuff, again, demonetized, shoved down in the algorithm. So it seems as though that we've got some issues with security. So if there are issues with security, can I touch on audio soundbite 19, s'il vous plaît? This is Graham to Ray, because he kind of touches on this, and then that's going to lead us into our big discussion about what's happening at the border.
You seem to be comfortable, my friends on the Democratic side, while making small changes to a big problem, nibbling around the edges of this problem. It'd be like sending guns to Ukraine without any bullets. You're really robust when it comes to Ukraine, and I'm with you. But when it comes to our border, you're playing a game of doing the least amount possible to pick 10 or 12 of us off. It ain't happening.
Yeah, so he makes a very good point about some of the stuff on the border, which then brings me to, this is audio, where's this at? I don't know if you guys saw some of this reporting. Bill Malugin's been doing a fantastic job of all of this. This was audio soundbite 16. So at the border, I think, what have they said, like, per week? I mean, it's like thousands per week that are crossing illegally at the border. I had another piece. Let me pull this up. Well, it's been over about a million people, I think, that have entered in at the southern border, and it's changing. I mean, people who've entered illegally. You're changing the way the country functions by allowing people who haven't been vetted and you have no idea where they come from to just, like, everybody, Katie bar the door, come on in. And this video footage that they took at the border, this was out of California. There was a huge horde of people trying to enter illegally into the country. And they were mostly young Chinese men, you know, because the border with China is right there. How did they get across the Pacific? Watch this. Audio soundbite 16. A mass massive. If you're watching the simulcast of the radio program on YouTube or Facebook, Channel 347 DirecTV, you're watching a huge sprawling line of young Chinese men. Young Chinese men. No women. All men. All men. I think there was maybe one woman there. All men. Where? How did they get over here? How did they get across the Pacific, go into Mexico, and then you're at the border? How did that happen? It's like telling, why is it different? Why is the border different than if you're coming in from air? And if you try to illegally immigrate coming in through the airport, and if you get on a flight and you fly to a country and you don't have proper documentation, you don't leave the terminal. You literally don't leave. You're not allowed to leave. But why is that different from what's happening at the border? Why is what's happening at the border viewed any less of a security threat when it concerns illegal entry? I mean, every other country I've ever been to, their border security, if they had a border, if it wasn't just surrounded by water, but their security, their border security was equal to that of, what you would experience in the airport. You know, in Italy and a lot of European countries, although it's they had an agreement there that might be going by the wayside because of everything that happened with the European Union, etc. But in Italy, for instance, you have to carry your ID around with you. You have to have, and it can't be your driver's license. Your driver's license means nothing over there. You have to have your passport with you. Technically, you can't have a copy of your passport. You have to have your passport with you. And it's not just, there's a number of European countries where this is you. It can't just be a copy of it, a Xerox copy. You literally have to have it on your person. And it can be up to the discretion of the law enforcement that stopped you. And you can be stopped randomly whenever. And it's actually a fine, or you could be detained if you don't listen to those orders. But you have to show your passport, show that you have the proper documentation to be there legally in the first place. And if you don't, again, it goes up. It's up to the discretion of that law enforcement officer that stops you as to whether or not you're going to be taken in. So they tell you to keep you. You have to have all your stuff on your person. You might think it's maybe more dangerous, but if you wear it properly and securely, it's not at all. But that's when you go to the hotels. Anyhow, you're in Europe and you're going to hotels. You have to, they take your passport at the hotel desk, they keep it, they make copies of it, all this stuff, and you got to wait there for it. You can't, sometimes they'll say you can leave it there, never do that, but you have to wait there for it. And the authorities want to know what hotel you're staying at. They have your information there, etc. And then you have to get, in the United States, if we were to employ that here in the United States, I mean, we can't even demand orderly legal entry at the border without the moral compass of the United States being called into question. That is because they are illogically and sinfully diminishing actual racism and bigotry and using it as a weapon to destabilize the United States. It's about making the United States ashamed to enforce its own laws and assert its own sovereignty. That's what this is about. It's flooding the weakest points of entry with illegal entry and then trying to shame the United States for daring to enforce what every other country, even countries that have less of a GDP than we do, than every other country gets to do. But apparently we don't, because as a penalty of being successful, the United States doesn't get to assert its sovereignty anymore. Who made that rule and why the hell should we listen to it? It's weak. That's what this is about. I mean, I look at it, how did they get over here? How did all these people, all these Chinese, young Chinese men get over here? Why are they all men? Why is everybody who comes in across the border, why are they mostly dudes? They're all dudes. Very, very few of them are women. It's weird. Like I said, it's by design. It's, in a way, it's a very smart attack on the United States. I mean, it's Occam's razor. You can try to argue otherwise, but sometimes the most obvious explanation is the correct one. This is the only way in which this makes sense. The only way. So this issue at the border. I mean, who knows? Who knows what 9/11, which obviously was a major failure of intel agencies in the very beginning, the first hurdle, and I've said this for years, the first hurdle that allowed it to continue was the immigration gatekeeper, because these individuals were here on expired visas. No one checked it. No agency talked to each other. Nobody had conversations. Nobody checked it. And then they decided, well, let's go ahead and give the government more power. And while we're at it, let's give them a little bit more power to watch what you're doing, too. You know, for national security. Pretty wild. So coming up, we got some pretty awesome sound bites from Joe Biden. What was the award thing that they had yesterday? Everybody gets a medal. What is it? Something I kind of care, but I don't. Some, I don't know. Some award ceremony that they had. And apparently one of the Bee Gees was there and Biden could barely get through his remarks. You're not going to see any the either front runner of either party debate. It's going to be two old dudes screaming at each other from their basements. I mean, would you want to see Biden debate, though? It would almost be. You would almost wince. It would be so sad, right? I don't know. Just telling you. So we're gonna hit some of that as well coming up. We're also speaking of the Bidens, the Biden family business, more direct payments discovered. I mean, you got car payments, you got all kinds of stuff coming from this. Like, where are these magical funds coming from? They just apparate out of the ether and then they just drop right into Joe Biden's bank account. Pretty amazing how that works, right? So we're going to get into all of this. We have a whole bunch of stuff to touch on, including all of the latest, too. We got John Kerry talking about coal. I think he had facial work done. I also think that he had some work done. He looks weird. He kind of looks like Barbara Streisand a little bit. Does that mean to say? Because he does. All right, as we get moving, because we have a lot still to discuss as we roll up towards Days of These United States. And our partners over at Nimi Skincare, great Christmas gift idea as well. If you are looking for gift ideas, they have great gifting options. They have their winter bundle and they have tons of gift cards as well. Nimi Skincare was founded with the belief that women's skin is different. I know this is really controversial from men's skin, right? Women have different needs than dudes do. And women do not want to be sold products that men use because of those needs and those needs being different. And Nimi Skincare understands this. This is why they have proven ingredients in their skincare products that repair and revitalize the skin. And they understand that women need something differently in every decade of life. So they have their, for instance, the Hydrate and Protect Ultimate Routine. Super hydrating. It includes their most popular anti-aging products to cleanse, moisturize, protect the skin. And they don't test on animals. There's no parabens, none of that stuff. But, you know, also importantly, they just appreciate and recognize that. And they make stuff for women to use. Great, great, great Christmas gift. And made in the USA by a company that shares your values. And their products are 100% guaranteed. So with Nimi Skincare, you don't have to compromise your values to take care of your skin and have great skin. Visit NimiSkincare.com. That's N-I-M-I Skincare.com. Use promo code Dana, get 10% off. And don't forget the winter bundle and all the gift cards. Your skin will thank you.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
First of all, I'm guided by the science. And I can tell you, honestly, there is zero politics or ideology in any decision that the President Biden has made or the administration has made. We are driven by the science.
Are you now? That's that'd be genders. Yeah, John Kerry. What does it feel like to just say whatever the hell you want and there's no repercussions? I don't understand. You know, that's the privileged life of a leftist, to be able to say whatever you want and not worry about being called to account for it. Like him. I mean, I'm really guided by the science. You know, the science that says a man can chop off his willy and be a lady. That kind of science. The science of You know, there's zero politics in anything that any decision Joe Biden's made. How dare you? He's got a stutter, Kane.
It's just the stuff that I learned in middle school is the science that debunks what he's doing. So if they're clearly not following the science is my point. I'm just following middle school science and know that plants need CO2 in order to give us O2.
Well, they really need Brondo. It's what they crave.
It's got electrolytes.
It's got electrolytes in it. But to his point, what does he think science is? I don't think he understands. Let's just go to the word science. I feel like he doesn't know what that word means. If you think that you're being guided by it, because, I mean, you're not, but, you know, I'm just wondering what he thinks that word means. If he says that there's zero politics or ideology in any decision that Biden's made. She blinded me with science. I mean, yes, the Thomas Dolby. Weird science. I get it. But still, that doesn't make any sense. Of course, he's been over. He's been talking about kill all the coal plants. And then he got into a fight with one of the guys over at UAE. Guy who headed up the COP. I could tell you what I thought it stands for, but I don't care. It's probably not radio friendly, my version of it. But he got into a fight with a guy from UAE. He was like, yeah, there's no science there. And John Kerry's like, I'm guided by the science. As he gets on his wife's late husband's jet and flies everywhere. I mean, good heavens. We almost had him as president. I know. That's terrifying. That is truly terrifying. We almost had this guy. He's sort of like a dumb Jimmy Carter. Golly, I never thought I'd say that. Right? Kane even perked up when I said that. I know, right? But I'm not, yeah, yeah. He's like the annoying guy. I saw videos of him when he was younger, talking about like throwing his medals off a bridge or something. He is that like annoying, super annoying leftist dude who is actually everything that he claims to hate, but loves he's a scenester. He loves the branding that comes with pretending otherwise. He's one of those annoying guys. He's like wannabe Euro trash is what he is. So gross. All right. We got a lot more on the way. As our second hour rolls toward us, we have all of the latest third wave. We've got the economy. Bidenomics, you know, it works so well that they got to change the name of it. We got that and more. Stick with us. Our friends at Black Rifle Coffee. This is the coffee that I drink every day because it's the best coffee that you can get. It's bougie coffee without the bougie price. And by bougie, I mean that they're nerds about how they roast their beans. This is like the only coffee company of its type where they actually bring the beans to the United States and roast them all throughout the week at their two locations. Everybody else out there white labels it. What does that mean? It means that they have other people in foreign countries roast the beans, and then they bring it into the U.S. and white label it and try to act like it's a big thing to sell. But that's not what Black Rifle Coffee Company does. These guys are legit coffee nerds. This is a veteran-owned company. They employ veterans. They employ active duty and all their families, and they are super focused on making the best coffee in the nation, and it truly is. They're also continuing to raise money for the Boot Campaign, one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country. They have all these programs that treat the invisible wounds of war, a lot of stuff that our vets deal with today. That's what the Boot Campaign treats. They're raising money for it through their ready-to-drink coffee over at Black Rifle Coffee. So you get a 12-pack of that through the coffee club, and that money goes right to the Boot Campaign. And the coffee club, by the way, this is a great Christmas gift. If you're looking for something for the person who has everything, the coffee club is where it's at because you can get, you know, a year subscription. You can choose the roasts and you can change them too online, however you want to do it in your account. You can choose your roast frequency of shipment. That coffee is sent to your house. You never run out of coffee. The best coffee, free shipping, and it's affordable. So make sure you visit Black Rifle Coffee, blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Fuel your caffeine fix and help make a difference in the lives of vets and their families. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Unfortunately, the Mexican drug cartels have that authority because they possess guns and weapons of war. But unfortunately, those weapons of war come from American manufacturers, not from Mexico or elsewhere. I have introduced a bill called the Disarming Cartels Act, which is designed to curb the exportation of weapons manufactured by American companies to the drug cartels, which fuels the fentanyl trade operation. There's not yet one Republican co-sponsor. I would urge my colleagues on the other side to recognize.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you one of the stupidest people in all of Congress. That is Representative Goldman, who clearly was not paying attention when the Obama-Biden administration, their ATF, literally forced FFLs to provide guns to cartels that were then used to kill Americans and Mexican nationals. And one of them even ended up, who's the big cartel guy down there? The big dude that they got that kept getting out of jail.
Chapo.
Yeah, El Chapo. Ended up being in, he had a 50 cal that came from Fast and Furious. Welcome back to the program. Dana Loesch here, top of the second hour. We're gonna create a Disarming the Cartels Act. We're gonna go down there and disarm the cartels. Our souls. Just go in Mexico. What are you gonna use there, rep? What are you gonna use? Gonna use magic? You gonna use jazz hands? You gonna confuse the hell out of them with jazz hands and then just take their guns when they're not looking? I mean, what are you doing? This is so stupid. They act like that American manufacturers are just simply selling guns to drug cartels. You know that's not how this works, right? It's totally not how it works. There's like a million treaties and international law, all kinds of stuff that goes into it. But furthermore, I just find it asinine that a member of the Democrat Party, the same party, and I'm not exaggerating, that's exactly what happened with Fast and Furious. Just to give you a quick recap, with the Fast and Furious, that whole apparatus that they had, they kept saying that it was a way to try to track, you know, cartels or do this or that. But what they did is they forced these FFLs. They actually forced FFLs to violate existing U.S. law and allow known cartel members to walk right in and buy guns right across their counter and do nothing about it. And then they were supposed to trace the guns, except they didn't do that. They actually forgot to trace the guns, and then they ended up losing like thousands of them. And then they ended up finding out when they did a lot of legwork, they ended up finding out later that a lot of these firearms were used to kill Americans and then Mexican nationals. And there, it was very similar to the stupid program that Bush did, George W. Bush, called Operation Wide Receiver, except the difference between Operation Wide Receiver and Operation Fast and Furious is that Wide Receiver, the moment they realized that it wasn't working, they stopped it. And they also traced the guns. They realized, wow, we're literally gun running to cartels with an op that doesn't work. This is dumb. Maybe we should stop. So they stopped it. What the Obama-Biden administration did is they just shrugged their shoulders and said, meh, and they just didn't do anything. They let it continue for an ungodly amount of time, at which point the body count rose because they literally armed themselves, the cartels. And then to the what's worse, and I wrote about this, I think it was like in my second book, what's worse is that then Democrats started citing the deaths of Americans at the hands of these firearms that were found on cartel members. They tried to use that as a way to crack down on law-abiding gun owners' rights. They absolutely tried to use the failed op known as Fast and Furious under Obama Biden. These are hashtag facts. They tried to use that as a way to argue for stricter gun control in the United States because they could not. Well, they shouldn't have even done this program in the first place. But then when they did this stupid, ill-advised program, they couldn't be prevailed upon to actually do the due diligence and follow and do anything that they said that they were going to do with it. You know, like follow the guns, like track them. They didn't do any of that stuff. And then they actually argued to compromise your rights further because of what they did. True story. And now you've got Goldman. Well, he's doing the same thing. Someone tell this moron, this epic moron. I don't even know who this cat is. This is stupid. He's a moron. He's one of those dudes who thinks that history began the day he got into elected office. Clearly. He's literally echoing a Michael Bloomberg argument. Because Michael Bloomberg and other Democrats, they were the first people to sit here and argue for increased gun control because of the results of Fast and Furious. Not even joking you. So he's rehashing this like 7-year-old argument. Dude, that's why we're making fun of you right now. This is one of the, I mean, this is, Fetterman wouldn't even do this. It's so dumb. John Fetterman wouldn't even do this. It is so dumb. The guy who thought Guam would tip over wouldn't even do this. That's how dumb this is. When he spoke, I cringed because I was so embarrassed for him. And then there was a resentment that built up in me because I honestly believe that I should not have to follow the lectures of anyone who's dumber than me. I have a huge thing with this. I apply it to the church and I apply it to government. I know, I just said something very controversial, but it's true. I just, especially if you're in government making regulations about my life, if I even suspect that you're dumber than me, and this applies to most of them, I don't feel like I should have any, I shouldn't have any obligation to follow it. Kane's shaking his head, yes.
That's fair.
See, if I were president, which I will never be, because A, I don't hate myself enough to run for office. B, I don't like anyone enough to want to represent them in office. And C, I wouldn't want to represent anybody that would vote for me. I would say immediately, anyone who is dumber than you, you don't have to follow in a single law that they propose. Not kidding you. Then I would abolish everything and then quit. So that's what I'd do. There you go. President Dana. But I believe that, though. I mean, when you hear these guys, don't you? I mean, I feel like they need to do IQ tests to run for office. There is a resentment. And sometimes I feel like, is this on purpose? Is this something that's done on purpose to make the American people so that they can point to certain citizens and be like, look at them. They're being rebellious. Well, yeah, because you're stupid and you're saying stupid things and you expect us to shake our heads and go along with it just because you have that the title of elected office conferred to you. But I don't share that view. Like, for the same way, Kane, this is a big thing. So I don't like infant preachers.
What?
You know what I mean? I'm really weird about this. When I go to church, I want somebody who's like
seasoned,
bent over from the woes of life, like a cocktail shrimp on a glass.
I say seasoned, but
yeah, like
potato.
I want him to be like, you know, one eyed and a cane and all this stuff. Like I want him to be just beaten down by life and he survived it. I want that. I don't want like a baby infant preacher.
Right. You want somebody like serve
who's
life.
Lived life and who like, can empathize with yeah. their life experience, who
like
can
Job.
Be like yeah.
maybe Job or something.
Yeah, yeah. You know Bible. What I'm saying? Yeah. This is like a huge debate in our house, a major debate. On one side is me, and then on the other side is my husband, who's like, word of God's word of God. And I'm like, okay, I get it. But at the same time, I'm like, I want an old preacher.
Are you saying that
I want an old man preacher and I don't want a woman.
Generally more effective than a younger green preacher is what you're saying?
I feel like they're able to connect with people more because of life experiences. Like they've lived everything that you're going through.
Right. So generally more effective.
Yeah.
A seasoned,
yeah.
older cocktail shrimp.
Like all bent over.
One
like,
eye. Yeah. I think you said one eye.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just, you know.
Maybe a limp?
Maybe. Like, okay. You know, got a stanky leg or something. I don't know. I'm just saying, I just feel it. Maybe it's mean. I don't care. I'm ignoring the criticism that I'm hearing from you guys right now. Get off your keyboards because I'm going to immediately delete it. I'm just not even going to read it. I'm going to be like, nope. But I'm going to say something. I don't want to hear a woman. I don't follow the Bible. All right. So, and now that I've said that and made everybody mad. Let's talk about some other stuff because let's go into where actual science is. Hang on. I got a few things here. I want to make sure I pull up you know what? Let's do Law and Order. Let's do this one. Have you seen this story? I'm sure you guys saw the story. I was going to hit this earlier, but I didn't do it. We talked about this, I think last week, the 6'6" student who got mad at a teacher's aide and beat her unconscious almost to death over a Nintendo Switch. And his name is Brendan Deppa. He was 17 when it happened. It's all caught on video. He kicked her and punched her. He was stomping on her head. She has neurological, like forever. She's like disabled now. She's got neurological issues, all this stuff. And the mother's like, oh, well, he's autistic. You know, you can't, please keep that in consideration. He apparently has a super violent record. And I think that's absolutely abhorrent that she's like, oh, well, he's autistic. I mean, I can't tell you how many families that have autistic children that do not have these issues. And it's all different, you know, all different types across the spectrum. I just feel like this lady is sort of MIA as a parent. And I was watching one of these interviews that she gave, and it just definitely seems so. The reason I'm bringing this up is because they're demanding that the victim show mercy. This woman was nearly beaten to death on video in her school in front of students. And this isn't the first time that this dude has been violent and has attacked people. And even after his arrest, he's also been violent. He attacked the prison guards and all kinds of stuff. And they're trying to push the victim into saying, "Oh, please have mercy. He shouldn't go through. He's had a hard life. He has autism." That's what she literally said. He has autism. Please show mercy. He's scared and he doesn't want to go to prison and die. Blah, blah. He is violent. I think it does society a favor for him to be off the street. And I think that it's mercy to keep him actually detained, because he has clearly, the mom is not going to do anything to help in this situation. She just enables the violent tendencies. And then she excuses her lack of parenting as autism, which I find absolutely abhorrent. That's number one. Number two, this dude has such a violent record. It serves society better for him to not be on the street. That's a mercy. It's a mercy to all of the other people who he may actually beat to death if he's allowed to walk free. And then number three, my gosh, what about the mercy for the victim? Why are you putting this onus on the victim to make this decision? You should have thought about that the first time that he committed a violent act, or the second time he got violent, or the third time, or the fourth time, or the fifth time. That's how long this dude's record is. Good grief. This is what's wrong with our society. We've got more. We got headlines on the way, too, and you don't want to miss, because we also have Florida Man later on this particular hour. Looking for a proactive solution in the battle against COVID-19? Well, ivermectin is now available at All Family Pharmacy, based in Boca Raton, Florida. With a growing interest in its potential benefits, ivermectin has emerged at the forefront for its antiviral properties. Supported by robust research and real-world experiences, it has gained new attention as a possible ally in managing the impact of the virus. For reliable information and access to quality products like ivermectin, visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana and save 10% with promo code DANA10. Your health matters, so stay informed. Visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana. Navigate these challenging times with informed choices and proactive steps. All Family Pharmacy is U.S.-based and safe. Embrace the possibilities with ivermectin. Save 10% with code DANA10 when you place your order now at allfamilypharma.com/Dana. That's allfamilypharma.com/Dana, code DANA10. That's Dana and the number 10.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Let's see. The Earth's magnetic field could completely flip soon. A physicist explains that. What did you say uh-oh for like that? Yeah, because that protects us from like bad stuff, right? Like radiation, sun's radiation and all of that. They said it could affect satellite communication, the operation of power grids, apparently it moves. The magnetic poles for centuries have been tracked. And apparently the historical movement of those poles indicates a change in global geometry. And it could be a flip between the north and the south poles. And normally it occurs over thousands of years. So if they're not, I mean, it doesn't happen just overnight. So this seems like stupid speculative nonsense, right? Kind of. A tourist jumps to death. Well, he completed the world's highest bungee jump and then plunged 764 feet. His jump was successful, but his heart stopped later, just like a couple hours later. It's a 56-year-old tourist. So he went out, it was the Macaw Tower. And it's 674 feet. He took the plunge, apparently can bungee jump off of it. He's a Japanese man, and he experienced shortness of breath just like 2 hours after, and then stopped breathing. And that was it. They said he had no superficial injuries. So did he jump to death? Did he just like stress his heart? What is it?
I guess he stressed the heart. Imagine if you're going that far down and then you being pulled back up, going against gravity. How many G's upside down? Where is all that blood going? Right to your head?
That's a really good point. That's a very good point. Oh. So these noise cameras, I mentioned this the other day, coming to New York City to punish loud drivers. So it takes photos of people's license plates and then it sends a ticket directly to the owner. Where's the due process in that, by the way? They said that the cameras would activate if a vehicle reaches 85 decibels from 50 feet. I would totally break this. My engine alone would break this. I have a loud car. Yeah, I have a loud car. 80 decibels. You have to be, if it reaches at least 85 decibels from 50 feet or more away. Oh, my car would totally violate this. Now, I mean, that's without the stereo going. Just the engine alone is going to... When I rev my engine, I want the hair to stand on end. That's what I want. So I think this is stupid. A noise camera, if it's too loud, you're too old. Just saying. I don't have a problem with it. When I hear loud engines, I'm like, America. When I hear silent creeper cars because they're all EVs and they creep up on you, that's terrifying. I don't. Those are murder cops. The murder bots. That's what they are. Murder cars. It's just weird. I don't like that. I don't like that. It's not supposed to be silent like that. I just, let's see. A man was crushed to death by a septic truck. Oh. Of all the trucks, a septic truck. This is horrific. It happened in New Jersey. A septic company's truck at a residence. Three individuals were standing outside the parked truck. It started sliding because of its position on the ground with the wet pavement. And it literally slid over an embankment, took down a person as it rolled down the hill, and then a victim was crushed. The two others were able to get safely away. That's horrific. Can you, golly, crushed by a septic truck? That's horrible. And a 40-year-old woman from Boston, a newlywed, was mauled to death in the Bahamas. She was there at the Sandals Bahamian Resort, and she was attacked off of the western end of New Providence Island. She was paddleboarding, and she was mauled to death by a shark, 44 years old. That's horrific. You got to be careful in the shark's house. I'm telling you. Stay with us. Our partners that help bring you free radio, our friends over at Patriot Mobile. It's the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. And they have some great deals that are happening right now. And also, when you spend money with Patriot Mobile, you're not spending money to empower the things that you vote against every time that you are at the ballot box. And they've been providing great service for over a decade now. They also have nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the best service in your area. And they have that Black Friday promotion that's still ongoing. Get yourself a free smartphone with code Friday76. So make the switch today. It's a limited time only thing, though. So you might want to act quick on that because they're going pretty fast, as I understand the latest. You can keep your phone, keep your number, upgrade. The choice is entirely yours. And talk to a member of one of their 100% U.S.-based customer service team. Makes switching easy. So visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana. Don't forget that Black Friday promotion. Get the free smartphone with code Friday76. Make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Dana. 972 Patriot.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You already got a question. Go ahead, Phil.
Thank you. The White House has said repeatedly that the president and his son were never in business together. They've said that repeatedly also in this room. According to bank records obtained by the House Oversight Committee, though, one of Hunter Biden's businesses, Osawa PC, set up direct payments to the president. Did the president accept payment? And why would there be such an arrangement if they were never in business together, or if there was a wall of separation, as the president has previously said?
So I have to be clear with you. I have not seen that report, so I would have to refer you to my colleagues over at the White House Counsel's office on that particular question. All right, everyone. See you.
Oh my gosh, she's like literally running away. She's like, okay, I'm going to have to refer to you. Bye. Bye. I got to go. And then she just literally ran off. It was yesterday, Karine Jean-Pierre. She was asked, I love that young reporter. He's like, I just want to know about funneling, you know, Hunter funneling his dad some of the money. You know, how does that work? You know, what's the... She's just not. She's like, bye, girl. I am not even answering you. She's out. Welcome back to the program. Bottom of the second hour, Dana Lash with you. Listen coast to coast. Stream the show. YouTube, Facebook, channel 347. DirecTV is where you can find the simulcast. I mean, I do think that there's some questions that deserve to be answered, right, Kane? I mean, yeah. Hi.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems, yeah.
It's her job. It's literally her only job.
She has one job. One job. And her job is to answer these questions. And she's having a really difficult time doing this because everything that she says could somehow compromise this. Really, I think. And that's why they don't want to answer any of it. But it's, I mean, it is, audio sound by 10. This is James Comer talking about this more. Listen to this, because he's talking about even more payments that they've uncovered, just newer ones from what we talked about first yesterday. Listen.
Today, the House Oversight Committee is releasing subpoenaed bank records that show Hunter Biden's business entity, Owasco PC, made direct monthly payments to Joe Biden. This wasn't a payment from Hunter Biden's personal account, but an account for his corporation that received payments from China and other shady corners of the world. At this moment, Hunter Biden is under an investigation by the Department of Justice for using a Wasco PC for tax evasion and other serious crimes. And based on whistleblower testimony, we know the Justice Department made a concerted effort to prevent investigators from asking questions about Joe Biden. I wonder why. The more we learn, it appears the Justice Department was trying to cover up for the Bidens.
Oh, well, yeah, they were. I mean, they completely were. Must be nice being that family and just using government to enrich yourself and then protect yourself when very uncomfortable questions arise because you were enriching yourself using government. I mean, payment after payment after payment. And the goalposts keep moving. I'm like just going through my mental Rolodex here. So first it was Joe Biden had said he'd never talked to. He doesn't talk to his son about his business. About his business deals. Do you talk to your kids about their business deals? He doesn't talk to his kids about their business deals. Oh, wait a minute. Here's some receipts. Okay, well, I said hi to them at dinner because it's so rude if you see them at a dinner and you just happen to pass them if you don't say hello. Oh, here are more receipts. Okay, so I did talk. I talked to them about the weather also. You know, we talked about the weather. And yes, that's why I had the special email account that I created that was hidden and wasn't a part of my formal communication as per law. And I had to go to all these great links to create all of these backdoor accounts so I could talk to them about the weather. That's totally normal, right? But I never took any money from them. Here's some more receipts. Okay, well, I this is money that went into the family account. Okay, the family account. All of the Bidens. I mean, we just have one big account because we're one big happy family. Here are more receipts. Silence, because this is to his account. Oh my gosh, I can't even. I mean, this is just crazy. It's crazy, but that's what they're dealing with. I mean, you've got car payments. You've got and all, so his. You realize too, if you have a child that has a major drug problem and is barely sober, barely, like his whole life has fallen apart because he's had this major drug problem. Why are you giving him tons of cash? First off, I mean, he's involved in hookers and blow and all crack and, you know, all kinds of stuff. Oh, I mean, everything. He's into everything, dangerous stuff, taking cars, speeding down desert highways at 3,000 miles an hour. I'm just saying, you know, and all while he's doing all of this very surreptitious, you know, shady business activity. And you're just giving him tons of money for what I think one of the things was so he could get a third car. Really? Yeah, I need a third car. It's not for my drug habit. I need a third car. Really? That's what they're dealing with here. That's all what all this was. I don't know. I mean, the shadiness. I wish that people talked about. Can we just address 15, please? Because I'm going to come back to the Biden stuff. I just wish that Fetterman would turn on the Bidens the way that he has, like Gold Bar Bob and all these other people. So, you know, George Santos was jettisoned from the House. Which is, we talked about this yesterday. It was incredibly stupid what Republicans did. They gave up a seat in a 5-seat majority, gave up a seat. And John Fetterman, there's this website called Cameo where famous people are on it and you can pay, I don't know how much it is, like however many dollars to get a famous person to record a short little video for you. And John Fetterman paid George Santos to talk about Bob Menendez on Cameo. It's funny. Audio soundbite 15. Listen to this.
Hey, Bobby. Look, I don't think I need to tell you, but these people that want to make you get in trouble and want to kick you out and make you run away, you make them put up or shut up. You stand your ground, sir, and don't get bogged down by all the haters out there. Stay strong. Merry Christmas.
That's funny. I kind of feel like I want a George Santos cameo now, too. He's going to be like an SNL character, but it's not going to be a character. It's going to be him on SNL. I think it's funny. Fetterman paid for that. He tweeted it out. He paid for that. Dude, I am much confused. What is up? This is like the fifth thing where we're like, oh, we we find mental alignment on that.
It was like a month and a half ago I started noticing a little shift. Like, how is, so his handlers, there must be a change in how his handlers are doing things or who his handlers are.
Because he wasn't like this before his stroke.
No, no, not at all. I love the Babylon Bee. Did you see that? As soon as man's brain becomes, you know, is healing, he becomes conservative.
Yeah, I feel like he, now that his brain is getting better, he's becoming more conservative. I mean, I'm making an observation. That's all. I'm not saying that I think this happened. I'm just observing that it could have happened. I'm just saying it's kind of wild to see this. I'm not quite sure what to make of it. I wish someone tell him to go after the Bidens, though. Golly, that'd be fun. They'd hate him then. Then they wouldn't like him. They would say that he's complicating things for them, for sure. Goodness. But to the point, though, with this Biden stuff, I think that if they had a vote to actually go in, and if they had a vote to impeach and Republicans didn't take it, I think that would be incredibly problematic. Hunter Biden tried to subpoena the former president and Bill Barr, and the special counsel, David Weiss, rejected the request. We don't like David Weiss, right? Or do we like him? Who? David Weiss, the guy who...
No, the special counsel?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, so here's my... Why is everyone acting like he made a boss move? He filed this rejection. So David Weiss, in case you forgot, is the guy who basically helped construct that little plea deal that ended up falling apart at the last minute for Hunter Biden. Secret plea deal that no one else would ever get. And he rejected Hunter Biden's request to subpoena the former president and Bill Barr to prove that he's being unfairly prosecuted on gun charges. And the Weiss wrote, quote, that not only does the defendant's motion fail to identify any actual evidence of bias, vindictiveness, or discriminatory intent on the special counsel's part, his arguments ignore an inconvenient truth. No charges were brought against the defendant during the prior administration when the subpoena receipts actually held office in the executive branch. I mean, he makes a very good point. And I think also the Weiss is saying, essentially, all of this began when your dad was in the White House. Can I just make out a point? I'm going to point something out, too. I think that Joe Biden is a horrible enough father that he would actually throw his kid under the bus. Because he's doing it now. Would you argue that he's not? Literally, how would you argue that he's not? He's doing it now. Not that Hunter Biden's innocent by any means, but he had him out there during all of this. And I mean, come on, people, making money for the family. Come on. We got a lot more in store. We got a Florida man that's going to be on the way. And the latest with, I mean, I think that's why the family has so many problems in the first place, because it all comes from the top down and it's bad dad. And I think Jill didn't help. I mean, how all these kids have the exact same problems, all these kids, and Jill's and Joe's, not just Joe's with his late wife, Jill and Joe's kid. And I think that they keep them happy so that they can use them. That's my personal take on it.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Well, this is one t-shirt, I guess, that you could wear, but maybe not if you get arrested again. Tampa, Florida. A Clearwater man is back behind bars after he was accused of obstructing a burglary investigation in Pasigrill. Now, according to the arrest report, Pinellas County, witnesses reported seeing this guy enter an unlocked car, et cetera, et cetera. He was wearing a t-shirt that said, quote, "I just got out of prison." Guess where he went back to?
Was it prison?
It was prison. Pinellas County Jail. He just got out in March of this year. He hadn't even been out of jail for a year. And already, he's now going back. He's in a lot of trouble. A Florida couple famous for over-the-top Christmas lights have been revealed to be squatters. Think of that. What's that movie with Danny DeVito and Matthew Broderick? And Danny DeVito always goes over the top with Christmas lights. So that's basically this house. You could probably see it from space. It's an investigation that the Broward County Property Appraiser's Office conducted and found that that couple were squatting for 15 years. And it's this plantation Florida home. There was never a title. It had a forged deed. You would think that if you're squatting in a home, you wouldn't go over the top with Christmas lights that aggravate everybody, maybe, because it sounds like there was at least one disgruntled neighbor. And you wouldn't be seeking media attention for your over-the-top Christmas lights if you didn't even live in the house legally.
Any attention.
Yeah, that seems like that's a really dumb move. This guy, a Florida man named Michael Jackson, is accused of exposing himself and mocking gym-goers. Palm Beach Gardens, on Tuesday morning of last week, a breach of peace occurred at the Busybody Gym, where a man named Michael Jackson banged on windows, screamed vulgar obscenities, exposed himself, challenged gym-goers to, quote, fight him with their fake muscles, end quote, and more, according to the arrest affidavit. The entrance to the gym was locked. Patrons stopped working out because they thought that the 47-year-old was gaining entry. When law enforcement arrived to assess the situation, he began citing U.S. constitutional statutes and then said that he was angry because of the, quote, fake muscles and their ability to, quote, get beautiful women even though they have fake muscles, end quote. He really does not like the fake muscles. Is he like going after steroids? What is he? I just like they never actually got into that. But they took him to Palm Beach County Jail. Disorderly conduct, indecent exposure. He was released from jail under his own reconnaissance today, apparently, and on the condition that he regularly reports back. Maybe check and make sure the guy is not like going to fight you with your fake muscles. I'm just amazed at this. A Florida man tries to run out on a $250 Waffle House tab. First off, how do you spend that much at a Waffle House?
No. That's for the tattoo.
Oh, wait, no, sorry. Tries to run out on a $250 Waffle House leg tattoo. This is from Kane. He had $6 and a driver's license in his bag. So he gets on his calf a Waffle House logo.
Loves him some Waffle House.
$250. And then he tries to run out. And he said that he got the black and white version because the color version was an additional $100, according to the Smoking Gun. And
more pain.
Oh, my gosh. They said that he was under the influence.
No.
Okay, so if he comes in there and he's drunk, why did they tattoo him?
That's a good point. Because isn't your blood thinner when you're drinking?
Your blood's thinner. That's bad, number one. And if he was under the influence, and apparently he was drunk and on drugs, if he's under the influence, why the hell would you tattoo him?
How's he in any position to make a decision on a tattoo?
I wouldn't go to a tattoo parlor where A, they would put a Waffle House logo on your calf, or B, they would tattoo you while you're drunk. Because tattoo parlors have the right to be like, get your...
Imagine if he was so drunk, he was just asking to go to Waffle House in the tattoo shop.
And they just gave him a tattoo. I want to go to Waffle House. You want a Waffle House logo on your calf? Okay. Here it is. It's a Waffle House logo. Yeah, that's like so... That's not cool. That's not cool. You can't be doing that stuff. Let's see. Oh, here it is. There's a guy who's a Florida man who wants to collect a million VHS copies of Titanic. A Largo man is on a mission. He wants a million copies of this. I have no idea why. Why? Does anybody even have VHS anymore? Third hour on the way. Stick with us.
I, along with most of campus, sought refuge in our rooms. As classmates and professors chanted proudly for the genocide of Jews while igniting smoke bombs and defacing school property, the neighboring university's president immediately released a statement describing this as a brazen display of anti-Semitism. He went on saying, "Silence in the face of last night's demonstration of anti-Semitism and hate near our doorstep is not an option for me." Well, the doorstep of the neighboring university is in fact Penn. And in fact, Penn's president did choose silence. The neighboring university's president swiftly denounced the incident, and yet our president cannot. Because the glorious October 7th, and you're a dirty little Jew, you deserve to die, are words said not by Hamas, but by my classmates and professors. And because despite all of this, I am adamant and hopeful that we will not accept, least of all, embrace this horrific new normal on college campuses today.
I can't even believe it's a new normal. This is just wild. And this is happening so often, so on so many college campuses. It's at the point where it's beyond the point of having to be addressed. Welcome back to the program. Top of this third hour to you. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. You can watch the simulcast on YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV as well. How does it get like this? How does it get like this? When I was in college, there was nothing like that on college campus. And I was in college, I graduated in the late 90s, mid to late 90s. I was in college going up to the aughts, and it was not like that on my college campus at all. There, no one ever would have allowed anybody to live in fear of anybody else. I just remember because I edited our paper, our school paper. And I remember when in fall, in September, when everybody's back on campus, they had the, what is it? It was in the quad where all of the groups and everybody, they would have like a day, like it was like a 2-day event where students could walk through the quad and they could see all the groups and figure out what they wanted to join, et cetera, et cetera. Every group got along. It was the opposite of PCU, the movie with Jeremy Piven, which I did find streaming. I shared that link with Lorraine, by the way, who's handling the YouTube discussion. And it's because you can't stream it. You can't find it anywhere. But everybody got along. Like you had, I don't remember what one group. There was one group that, I mean, all the groups got along. There was a Jewish group that got along with the Muslim students group. And you could learn, like, that's where I learned Assalamu Alaikum, all that. Everybody got along. Everybody got along. Literally everybody got along. This is new, where everybody has been conditioned to hate each other. It's all about destabilization. I was telling Kane when I was in elementary school, and I just now realized this, we learned Hanukkah songs right along with Christmas songs. Now, there were more Christmas songs that we learned. Of course, there were a lot of Christmas songs written by Jewish people. But we sang, as part of our Christmas recital, we sang Hanukkah songs. And nobody ever thought any differently. The only thing that that kind of rubbed me the wrong way was I'm like, you get 8 days of presents. That seems like it's not fair. And one of my, Kane and I were talking about this because our friends who were Jewish were saying, well, they're like little things. Yeah, but you get 8 days of them. I had a friend who got a slap bracelet one day. Remember the slap bracelets? Were those actually made of measuring tape?
Could have been.
Someone told me they were actually made of measuring tape, but you'd slap them right on your wrist. Anyway, and I can't remember. I don't remember what one of the songs, what it was called, but it was, I went Hanukkah, Hanukkah, come light the menorah. We'll celebrate the season by dancing the hora. H-O-R-A, I think it was. 8 days of joy on this holiday. Every day for 8 days, children will play. I mean, I remember all of these songs. No, I think they're talking about a dance. It's a specific dance, but I don't know what the dance is. We learned that song. I learned that song in school. I still remember it now. We sing it every year for our Christmas recital. That was a part of our Christmas recital. And then we sang the dreidel song. And then there's another one that we sang. But that nobody batted an eye. Like, nobody thought anything differently of it. You know, nobody had to sign a permission slip. Everything was treated like, oh, these happen at the same time. There was no one has to compete with the other. There was no there's no animosity, nothing like that. It's just how it was. And nobody had a problem with doing all of it. It was fun. We had our big Christmas recital and they had candy and punch at it. It was, it was nice. Now everything sucks. Because everybody made it so. They made it miserable. That's the thing that bums me out. Like, I feel like my kids will never know how cool it used to be. Because everything just blows. What a horrible time. What a horrible time to come of age. Everything is horrible. And everything you do is forever documented by the matrix of social media. And everybody's parents let them on social media. They just allow them to be on it. My kids were not allowed to be on social media. Now that they're in college, I think one of them does like Snapchat, but they don't really get on it and do, they don't have Twitter and they don't have Facebook and they don't get on it. I think that also contributes to this too, because I feel like it allows stupidity to fly more freely unfiltered, but it wouldn't be a problem if people were educated. But see, here's the multi-prong effect of this cultural warfare. You have, I think, universities making people dumber. I told you the other day, a very good friend of mine, who his name is Van, and he has a website called Blogodiadict. It's a play on autodietism. And he wrote, he had a very fantastic deep dive on the importance of grammar and how it's not people being like grammar nerds and things like that. It's, you know, there we used to be able to, we had so many choices to so eloquently and articulately express ourselves and to assert a very friendly disagreement without running the to the limit of offending someone. And now it's like everybody's been made so purposefully stupid and our language has been so dumbed down that we can't even express disagreement, and then emotions fly and everyone takes everything personally, and it's just horrific. And so I thought that was really smart. And then how in colleges and universities today, honest debate is not fostered and it's not protected and it's not defended. Where are the people coming out saying, no, absolutely not. If you're not smart enough to share your ideology, talk about your ideology, hear other ideas, and then defend your principles soundly while being civil and courteous, you are too stupid for debate. Sit down. Where are the people who are enforcing that at these learning institutions? That would have never have flown when I was in school. Never would have flown. I mean, I read this article the other day where they were talking about parents with, make sure your child's opinion may, flatter them and let them know that they are heard. And no, we're not doing that. You'll be heard if your opinion's not stupid. How about that? You don't have a right to be heard. This whole, my truth, you don't have a right to that. There are so many people that have opinions all competing for shelf space in the consciousness of this society. You do not have the right to be heard. You have the privilege to be heard. You have the right to say whatever you want. You don't have the right for someone else to hear it. That's a privilege. So craft your message accordingly and earn it. That's what this means. But no one's told that because they're afraid to hurt someone's feelings. They're afraid that someone will be made to feel inadequate. And honestly, if your opinion is bad, you should be made to feel inadequate so that you improve yourself. But heaven forbid, people don't want to improve themselves because they look at that as though it's an offense. Oh my gosh, you're telling me that I'm imperfect? Yes, we all are. Get over it. Instead, what we do is we cater to this self-aggrandizement. No, you're perfect as is. There's no reason to improve anything. You're perfect. Your opinions are perfect. No, they're not. Most people's opinions are horrible. I mean, mine are brilliant, but that goes beyond saying, you know. I'm slightly kidding. Not really. But that's I think, part of the problem with this. And you're seeing this play out now in universities everywhere. Everywhere. My mom, who was a very harsh parent, thought I was a harsh parent. Because I just never got into all the wokery parent stuff. I'm like, if you suck, I'm going to tell you you suck. If I don't think that's where your skill set is, I'm going to tell you this is not where your skill set is. I'm not doing my job as a parent by catering to the lowest common denominator of your abilities. That's the truth of the matter. That's not why God put me here. I do you no favors by not helping to illuminate your path of purposefulness. I'm not helping you. But parents today, and we're seeing this now, that's part of the problem. Now you have students' minds that are just completely seated and ready for corruption. And that's just it. We send them to these corruption factories without the ability to fight against it. It used to not be that. I mean, it used to not be where you should have to fear the somebody making an impression on your child's mind. My youngest son, who's in college now, I do not worry about this child at all in terms of ideology. I worry about everybody else. This, his resoluteness. I am not even remotely exaggerating. I am not at all. He is the absolute rock against which all of this breaks. He is so resolute and so strong in his principles and his position and his faith and all of that. It just doesn't get to him. And he's secure enough in knowing why he believes what he believes that he doesn't feel the need to get nasty. He doesn't need to get nasty. Now, he will match your energy, but he doesn't feel the need to get nasty. He is not the peacemaker like my older son is. But I don't worry about his abilities or principles being compromised. In fact, every time he sees an instance like that, he becomes more resolute. And that's the kind of confidence you should have when you send your kids out. And I'm not saying, I don't, honestly, if you ask me, what did you do? I don't know. It was the grace of God that I didn't ruin him. I don't know. Like, we raised him to, you know, we did the best of our ability and God fixed all the errors, I guess. I don't know, all of our mistakes. I'm like, please just don't let us break this child. I don't know what we did, but whatever did, it worked. And I don't have to worry about him. He knows his own mind. He knows his own mind incredibly well. And he's got a great group of friends that are very similar. You should not feel worried about sending your kid off out of your home. Remember, what they do not learn in your home, they will learn out in the world. The world will teach them. And now you've been told that you're a helicopter parent. And I get it. There's a difference between hovering and going too far, but there's also a difference in being engaged. I hate it when colleges are like, oh, don't talk to your kids for the first month. Oh, hell no, I don't think so. H-A-I-L, that's not how Mama Dana plays it. And I have no problem in telling my kids, this is inappropriate, that's appropriate, this is not acceptable, et cetera, et cetera. They've grown up with it. But now it's like you're supposed to entertain everything that you're supposed to entertain it and somehow accommodate it and give them room to be who they are, etc. Well, the part of the parent's job is to also instruct your child. I mean, you were literally called by that in scripture. So I don't know why a lot of people are thinking that they have to bend a knee to the world and allow the world to shape their kid over them. That's what this is all about. They're not saying that, oh, let your kid shape themselves. The world's saying, let us shape your kid for you. And like I said, I think all of that plays into the psychology of what we're seeing on these campuses now, because you have all these kids that have been primed. They've been primed for this corruption, this intellectual corruption. And that's what's taking place. And now we have a quasi-1930s happening again on college campuses around the country. It's sickening.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Alaska Airlines and Hawaii Airlines are going to combine and expand choices for people. Yay, I don't care. Self-checkouts are going to be scrapped at Walmart, Costco, and Wegmans. The hell's a Wegman? Isn't that a British thing, Wegmans? No, I don't know what it is. It sounds like it's a British thing. Oh, it's going to pop over Wegmans. Steve, tell me about Wegmans. It's a thing? Oh, so it's like their schnooks, Kane. Yeah. Yeah. So self-checkouts at big retailers like Walmart and Costco, they are going to make them a thing of the past, and the reason why is because of crime. They said that crime is killing self-checkouts. They said that even food retailers are having issues with this, that some preferred not to, I don't mind the self-checkout, except when it's like, please put the item in the bag. And I'm like, I did. Please put the item in the bag. I put it in the bag! That's the problem I have. But they said that some people, the tech mishaps, they don't like having to bag things themselves. I would never go with like a bunch of items to self-checkout because I get stressed when I bag things because I played too much Tetris as a child and I get very stressed out. But it is crime. Crime's driving that. I mean, it's... let's see here. A Akron police arrest a guy who was shot over potato chips. Do we have an identification on the chips? Is it like Ruffles? Is it because otherwise I don't care about this story? Yeah, I mean, that's important to us. So Al Gore says something that you need to hear just so we can laugh about it. Stay with us.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than the Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you have social media that is dominated by algorithms that pull people down these rabbit holes that are a bit like pitcher plants, these algorithms, they are the digital equivalent of AR-15s. They ought to be banned. They really ought to be banned. It's an abuse of the public forum. But when these, when people are pulled down these rabbit holes, you know what's at the bottom of the rabbit hole? That's where the echo chamber is. And if you spend too much time in the echo chamber, what's weaponized is another form of AI, not artificial intelligence, artificial insanity.
I'm serious. I have so many. This is that stupid COP28 thing that they're doing. I have no idea what this thing is. Can I just stop before we get into the second chakra? Can you release my second chakra? It's what Al Gore. I thought that's why I thought the baby it's cold outside just dovetailed perfectly into his intro. So he's there speaking about social media, AI. What was he talking to? And if Juan, if you can, for our simulcast viewers, because you can listen to the radio program across the country, and then we have people who view it on YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. I don't know what he's talking to. And I say what because I don't know what I'm looking at. It's visual terrorism. There is a what I presume to be a male in a dark suit wearing white socks. I'm a stickler for protocol, by the way. Dark suit, white socks.
Yeah.
A man bun that rivals the Swedish princess's bun that she wears at the base of her head all the time in every photo I've ever seen of her. Like Princess Victoria of Sweden or something like that. Everything with this guy is wrong. It's visual terrorism. The white socks. Men, let me do you a favor. If your mothers didn't teach you or if the women in your lives have forsaken you, that is a giant no-no. No one wants to see white socks at that ankle. Dark socks only. And the only time that you go sockless is if you are in Florida in loafers or you are in the Italian Riviera. That is it. That is it. There is no excuse. And not that man bun, that size of a man bun. It looks like he went to the Sally Beauty Supply and got a fake bun to put at his head and then wrapped his hair around it and pinned it in.
And which is better? Which is greater than? Is it that man bun or a mullet?
Mullet is more acceptable.
Got it.
A mullet's more acceptable because I feel like if you're a dude and you're going to grow your hair out, then wear your hair grown out. Right. Now, I understand if you're like, you know, a cook or something. You're like, I'm going to my job. I have to because of protocol. And I think that there's a way to maybe, some of the dudes will argue with me about this, there's probably a manlier way to pull it back than that. But the white socks, I want to just punch his ankles off. I can't, one of my biggest pet peeves with dudes dressing. I love how Juan is just like going right there. He's zeroing in. He's getting ready to throw it up. He's zeroed right in. This is my biggest pet peeve with dudes. White socks in a dark suit. White socks in a dark suit. This is like, no. Everything that this is visual terrorism.
You know what he's thinking right now?
What?
Those socks match my shirt.
Oh my gosh.
That's what he's thinking.
No. This is not, no. There's different rules. I'm a stickler for protocol. This is never okay. Never okay. You might as well just, you know what, put on tennis shoes with it and just do it like that. But don't, never okay. Anyway, he's sitting there talking to Al Gore, who, what does he do now? He just like tries to fear monger people?
Yeah, so
I don't know.
Stuff he's been doing for a while.
So he's sitting, he's the audio that we played before. I was so distracted by this visual terrorist. Juan goes, he's going for the Michael Jackson vibe. I don't see, though, the sequined glove. And unless I'm hearing, you know, Billie Jean, the beat for that, I cannot abide, man. I cannot abide.
Jackson never had a man bun either.
I think he did pull it back.
I don't know if he ever
But I don't think we talk about him anymore because, you know, Yeah. Right.
Okay.
I mean, right? Isn't that like the unspoken rule?
Is it?
Isn't it, though? I'm asking you.
No one spoke about it. How am I supposed to
know? I don't know.
If
that's
unspoken, the hell, what do I know?
So Al Gore thinks that if you're criticizing the climate stuff, then you should be ban all the speech that we don't like. Yeah, I really, you know, the guy who's accused of sexually harassing multiple massage therapists, let's let him make the rules on speech. Can you imagine if you're a masseuse and you have to go in and this is your client? His wife, by the way, was also a big fascist. Tipper Gore, she was the one who led the charge to ban no-no words and rock music. I remember I was in elementary school and it was all over MTV. Everybody was making fun of Tipper Gore. Everybody made fun of this woman. She was the ultimate Karen. She was a Karen before that word was even like that name was meant to applied and used in that manner. She was the busybody wife. It was her, Tipper Gore. In fact, we should like switch out Karen for Tipper. Don't be a Tipper. Right? I think that's like so much better.
That's how it was in the 80s.
Oh my gosh. Nobody liked her. But that's what they did. Democrats went after speech in the, what is it? The early 90s is when all this was happening? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just remember that they had this Senate hearing and they had Dee Snider before he became such a wanker. They had Dee Snider and all these other cats go and they were testifying before members of Congress and saying, look, you know, this is an abridgment of free speech. And that's what they were trying to put all these warning labels on CDs and all that stuff. And I don't know. I the whole thing was just. But yeah, so I'm not surprised that he, of all people, I'm not at all surprised that he, of all people, would push this. Well, we just need to get rid of. It's like it's the digital equivalent of AR-15s. His sentence was just, I feel like maybe when he was drafting that remark in his big mansion, isn't he in Tennessee, his big old tobacco farm and mansion in Tennessee? I feel like maybe that sounded clever in his head to him, but that sounds really stupid. It didn't occur to him as he said it out loud how dumb that sounded. I can't stand. All right, so the parents of the 9-year-old, do you guys remember this Chiefs fan who was smeared by Deadspin? Holden Armenta, I'm only going to hit sweet Armenta family. They've hired a law firm, Clairlock LLP. They're demanding that Karen Phillips, the male who wrote the defamatory site, the defamatory piece on that website, he accused the 9-year-old of hating black people. He accused the 9-year-old of hating Indians, and the 9-year-old is actually an American Indian. And he said that he fraudulently accused him of being in blackface. And they've demanded that Deadspin and Karen Phillips issue a retraction for his story. And they've threatened further legal action against the reporter. They said that the all of this must be retracted immediately. And they said it's not enough to quietly delete a tweet or disable the article. You need to publish retractions and issue an apology. And I, with the same fanfare in which you defamed them. I completely agree with this. And because he literally said, quote, that the boy hates black people and that he found a way to hate black people and Native Americans at the same time. And then they ran a photo showing only one side of the 9-year-old's face. He had his face painted in black and red for his team's colors. And he only had one side of the kid's face so that they could make it look like he was in black. And then he accused him of being in blackface. And it got community noted on X. But this is horrific. I mean, he went after this kid, a 9-year-old, a grown man went after this kid. I hope they drag Karen Phillips over the coals, drag him, drag that website. We got to make examples of these people. And I've been seeing this. I've seen this for 20 years. This is why people are afraid to speak out about stuff, because the media weaponizes their difference of opinion and tries to defame them for it. They will try to make this kid, oh, here's the avatar of everything that we hate about the, you know, I don't even know what this family's politics are. And I'll just say, American Indians typically aren't conservative. So, I mean, go look at voting records if you don't believe me. Go look at those who are of indigenous nations and see what their affiliation is in Congress. So they just make these assumptions, these wild assumptions, and they end up shooting themselves in the foot rhetorically. I mean, this is just wild. And they literally hid the fact that half of his face was painted red, and they accused him. They only had a side profile of him. And they wanted to, this guy actually was begging for a rage mob. It's in his headline. The headline that he had was, quote, the NFL needs to speak out against Kansas City Chiefs fan in blackface and native headdress. He accused the kid of being racist in the subhead. Yeah, they absolutely. But here's the thing. Deadspin will probably take the stupid way out. And they'll probably say, no, we're not going to apologize. And then they'll have to go to court. And if they do, I hope that the family takes ownership of the website and then shuts them down. Fires all their employees and shuts them down. This should follow Karen Phillips absolutely everywhere. This is what these people do to regular, average, everyday Americans. They want you to live in fear of their wrath so that you don't say anything. They want you to be so afraid that you're going to be made the next example of in their pages, on their websites, on their social media accounts, so that you never say a word. It's that you want to talk about what he was, and Al Gore saying, oh, this is the digital equivalent AR-15s. Okay, well, this is advocacy terrorism. How about that? So I hope the family follows through. I mean, it would be nice if the website apologized. Deadspin hasn't said anything at all. They've issued no comment. Karen Phillips hasn't apologized at all. He like doubled down on it.
Down.
Yeah. So make an example out of them. Break them. No mercy, no quarter. Break them. Fire everybody. Right around Christmas, too. Make it hurt and make an example out of all these people, because I'm tired of it. This isn't the media. These are militants. Very different. And they are trying to use their bully pulpit to scare the hell out of average people so that they can't enjoy life. They can't even go to a game. They can't even take their kids to a game. They will not hesitate in going after your kids in the same way they're going after this 9-year-old. Very Hamas-like, don't you think?
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
So, you know, the measure here is really sounding the alarm bell. I find myself getting more and more militant because I do not understand how adults who are in position of responsibility can be avoiding responsibility for taking away those things that are killing people on a daily basis. And the reality is that...
That one woman on the left heard that. I mean, he did sound the alarm, but in a very different way. So John Kerry was accused of farting on stage, very much like Eric Swalwell. His, dare I say, he had a little prison poof moment there. It's not what I was going to. You thought I was going to say what I said on break, which was hysterical.
Yes, it was, but thank you.
We're not done with the show yet, so
don't do that.
Yeah, but he did sound the alarm. The lady to his right, she immediately put her hand over. I mean, right when it happened, she heard it. I mean, if it's that audible with the mics up there, then that was a loud. The dude, like, he crapped the chair. I don't know how else to put it. Like, also, his face doesn't move. He needs to lay off the Botox. And he's got so much stuff pumped into his face. Like, his skin is taut, and it's weird, and it's not supposed to look like that. And also, he can't, like, he's just very, I mean, he has no expression. None. He can't move. And then, I guess all the movement's down there. So he did sound the alarm. Look at that, in his own special way. And you could tell that he did it, too, because he had a beat there. You could tell that he did it. That's a Swalwell moment. Or did Swalwell have a Kerry moment?
Whoever smelt it, dealt it.
I'm telling you. I really am not going to be lectured to by a guy who just added through his britches CO2 to the atmosphere. I mean, who knows how much that put in. By the way, nobody wants to talk about the giant volcano in Indonesia that erupted. Like, all of the CO2 that it pumped into the atmosphere is enough for, like, how many millennia?
When's the volcano going to pay its carbon credits?
Like, how many thousands of years worth of CO2 did that thing pump into the air? Like, there were actual atmospheric scientists that, like, studied this, and they were saying, yeah, this is, I can't remember how many tons they said, metric tons pumped into the atmosphere from that volcano, more than your hairspray in your car could ever hope to do. More than it could ever hope to do. But let's not talk about that. Let's not talk about that. We got to go after farting cows. That was the green energy thing. Well, you can start with Carrie's, one giant farting cow right there on stage, you know, moo. I can't believe you heard it from that mic. That mic was like right up here. That had to have been those two people on either side of him. Dude, you know they heard that. They heard that. Did they? I mean, I would have lost it. That's where my professional lady demeanor would have like gone to the wayside and I would have just lost it. There's no way. No way I'd be sitting up there with a straight face. That one woman caught herself. She put her hand up to her mouth. You could see it. It was just chef's kiss. Ooh.
I wonder how many carbon credits that fart costed.
I don't know, but it's so nasty. I hope he was wearing some like diapers. Did he have to go wipe after this? I mean, it's horrible.
I don't want to think about that.
All right. Today's stupidity.
All right. Kate. It is John Kerry, though, because he kept on saying stupid stuff. He says that he is guided by, if he was guided by the science, we wouldn't be even talking about what he's talking about on stage. Because we remember the 60s, 70s, 80s, every decade, 10 years, the world was going to end because of the climate.
Yeah.
Listen to what
no
he says
polar
here.
Bears.
24.
First of all, I'm guided by the science. And I can tell you, honestly, there is zero politics or ideology in any decision that the President Biden has made or the administration has made.
Nobody believes you. Nobody believes you. You know why? Because it's false what you said. You just lied.
But he follows the science, Kane.
Okay.
Yeah. He follows the science. At least he didn't, you know, have a prison poof event in that chair.
All right, thank God it's over.
That was your turn. You gave me that term to supplant the one that I had that you told me was not appropriate for air. You can find us on Substack. Make sure you sign up, subscribe, YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe. I'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow.